Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This is a Joy 94.9 podcast for Generation Next. News, views and opinions from the queer youth of today. The Generation Next podcast is presented to you with thanks to Joy sponsor, Equal Play.
I'm Jason Ball.
And I'm Gus Johnston.
Sport has been a massive part of our lives.
But for all the highs, sport can also be complex and at times pretty tough for those in the GLBTI community.
The Equal Play study is an opportunity to change all this. We're calling on people aged 14 to 23 who are same-sex attracted or gender diverse to share their experiences in sport and PE. Participate now at facebook.com/equalplay.
That 4 minutes past seven, this is Generation Next. Tonight you are joined by Dill, Vic and Cal. What's going on?
Hola, señores.
Oh, I like that. A bit of culturalness.
Why not? I just felt like if I want to be Spanish, I can be Spanish.
I can't follow that.
I can't speak Spanish at all. I can barely even speak English at times.
It's all about the Google Translate, fellas.
Nice. Well, tonight we have so much news and thought-provoking topics, or rather one thought-provoking topic, that we are just oozing with newsness.
Dill has actually used his brain and actually come up with, I reckon, a very intriguing topic. Dill, do you want to share?
Oh, of course. Well, tonight we're going to be discussing why gay youth, particularly gay men, don't like other gay men. And Vic, we were talking about this morning. Lesbians, do they encounter similar
things? I have not personal friends of mine, but just I've known of people that I've known to not particularly like gay people. And then all of a sudden, a year later, down the track, boom, they got a girlfriend.
Huh.
And I'm like, dude, what the hell? No, like, it all makes sense. The puzzle just matters.
It totally does. And that's what we're talking about, internalized homophobia, or in some instance with gay men that I know about. Is this just an instance of being proud just isn't cool? And if any of our lovely listeners out there have anything they'd like to add, or if they've got anything to contradict to that, because what we love here at Gen Next are thought-provoking conversations, it's our favourite, then you should send us a message on 0427-JOY-949 or give front desk a bell on 1300-JOY-949 or you could, if you have something a little bit longer to say, because the SMSs, they're constrained by the amount of characters you can put in there. So if you have something longer that you'd like to add, then shoot us an email on onair@joy.org.au and we'd be more than happy to read that out on air.
Vicky wants to know. I'm sure there's going to be heaps. There has to be heaps of people out there.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we've all been through it. We've all come across it. So please, we won't judge.
No, and if anything, you're just adding to, you know, the beautiful conversations that is Generation Next.
That's right. That's right.
What did you guys get up to on the weekend?
I did very little things memorable. Yeah. I had one of those weekends where I can't really remember what I did, not because I went out and had a really hard weekend, but because I didn't really do that much. I just sort of sat about and relaxed at home and put off my Christmas shopping.
He's really taking this whole, the world's going to end, really seriously, as you can tell, guys.
Yeah.
He's really making the most of the time left.
Well, I figured if the world's going to end, there's not much I can do about it. I might as well relax.
Do you know what? If the world is going to end, I am so angry because I've just spent the last year and a half paying off my credit cards. And I just think I could have used that money on the dill.
That's, you know, true.
And I just referred to myself in third person and made myself feel a little ill.
And rhymed.
Oh, great. Thanks. How about you, Vic? What'd you get to?
I had a mate's birthday, which, you know, note to self, if you're ever going to have a party, do not have, like, if you've got a pool, cover that up. Cover that right up, because, you know, someone's just going to end up in there.
That would be me most times.
Just, you know, people get a bit crazy, get a bit rowdy, and before you know it, someone's like, oh, let's push them in the pool. Let's push them in the pool. Boom. And I can't swim, so I was just like, I'm taking a step back away. I'm going to just, you know, I've got to guard myself.
Yeah.
Because God knows who's going to push me in that thing.
People always know when I'm planning to push someone in a pool because I ask them if they've got their phone on them. And I'm like, oh, you got your phone on. Can I have a look at your phone for a second? They're like,
what a considerate pusher.
Why?
Yeah, well, you don't want to mess up because you'll end up paying
for it. What about if
they
can't swim? You know, being a person that cannot swim.
That's never occurred to me, funnily enough.
Because I've never actually jumped in a pool, jumped into water. I've never dived anywhere. Like, when I go into water, it's literally, it's a slow crawl in. And then perhaps if the current moves me, that's about as far as I go.
Oh, see, I am always the as I see a body of water and I am there. I am totally there.
Because you're a coastal boy.
Yeah, I know. It's true. I'm like a slave to water. I just want to like just put myself in it. It's as soon as I see it, it's just it's crazy. It makes me go a little insane sometimes.
I'm curious to know what Dill got up to this weekend.
Well, I on Saturday I hung out with the guys from Minus 18. And that was pretty cool. They've got a end of the world dance party coming up this Friday, the 21st to the 12th at the Vault, which is at 156 Wellington Street in Collingwood. They did say you need to RSVP on Facebook.
You need to RSVP for the, you know, just in case the world
just
doesn't.
In, yeah, just in case this world doesn't end and you're like, oh my God, I bought my ticket. So this event is actually under 21. So if you're a little overage and want to return to the minus 18 crowd, then you should definitely go down there. All the details are actually on minus18.org.au. But then on Saturday, that was Saturday day during the day when the sun was out and I was feeling a little bit more with my wits. And then Saturday night, I went to a party in Brunswick Street, in Brunswick, and I met all these really, really cool, like, artists, like painters and musicians. And I was like, wow, there are so many, like, really, really talented and creative people all in the one venue. It was insane. There was like the conversations going around, it was ridiculous. They were so intelligent. I was like, oh my God, if I open my mouth for too long, I'm gonna seem like the village idiot.
What kind of, like, were they actually Brunswick kind of musician, graffiti artists, or like
there were like a whole heap of DJs and a couple of like arty guys. Not arty guys. I'm pretending like I'm strumming a guitar.
They can't see you, Dill.
Thanks, Cal. Yeah, so there was like a whole heap of musicians. I'm actually going to check out one of them tomorrow night, which should be good.
I'm actually curious to see these graffiti artists now.
You got me.
I know they're in Brunswick.
Because you're totally like a graffiti lady. You like draw, right?
Yeah, just for personal friends these days. But yes, I do. I do like watching people do it.
Yeah.
And I do. Yeah, I do it.
It's awesome. I really, really wish I could make something artistic because I try and even my stick figures turn out.
You get some
weird
paint, you put your fingers in it and boom, there you go. Finger painting is an artwork, I'm telling you.
I love to agree with that. My creativity.
All you're going to do is put a frame around it and you're done.
Oh, true. See? True. We have got a message in from our good friend Michael Sidlick overseas just saying, hey, Dill, Vic and Cheech. Hey, they mentioned you twice.
Cheech and, Vicky is Cheech. Yeah. Cheech is Vicky. That is me.
Thanks, meant Michael. To say Cal. Just wanted to say hi once again from California. It's 2:09 a.m. here. Glad to hear you guys. Hope to hear some more on this internalized homophobia topic and some wonderful tunes. Queer international love, Michael. That's awesome. There's also a PS Dill, you rock. And I did not add that in.
Way to toot his own horn, Michael. I'm impressed. I'm actually even more impressed that you're up at in the morning after midnight.
You're
listening just for us. If I could hug you, man, international hug right now.
International hug. And that is right. There will be more of this internalized homophobia topic coming up in a couple of minutes. So we already have... So one person has already messaged in. We're keeping that one a little bit for later on once the discussion starts.
I agree.
So if you have anything that you'd like to add into this topic, by all means, savor them and start messaging them in now even.
Because I want to hear the crazy stories because, I mean, I've come across some crazy stories about, you know, people like even like condemning my mates and I and then all of a sudden 360 and boom, there you go. They're on the same level. So...
Well, do you know what? Even when I was in high school, before I had come out, I was like, no, gays are horrible. Yeah. And then what do you know?
I always wondered why I didn't have an issue with gay people, and then what do you know?
Oh, Cheech, you were so, like, down to earth. I could never even think of you having a problem with anyone. I just don't think it's possible for you to.
It's hard. It's very hard. I can only really have a problem with myself, and even then I'm like, no, you're perfect.
Well, we've got more Generation Next coming up right after this.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
18 minutes past 7, you are listening to Generation Next with Dil, Vic and Cal. We are going to be talking about something that... I read this article about this short film made by Blake Prout. It's called 20 Male Gay NYC. And he made this after hearing each of his gay friends either say, "I hate gay guys," or at least once say, "I hate stereotypical gay guys." He wanted to talk to gay men about gay men and what it means to be our age, gay, and living in New York in the year 2012. So, look, I'm just going to take a sec and read out the article by Blake. So, here, just kick it off. The chance to interview my close friends, friends who have expressed disillusionment, frustration, and dismissal towards the gay community, or lack thereof, off camera, was a moving experience. I found them articulate, honest, and brave for giving voice to thoughts that I've been wrestling with, as well as ones that are far more complex than anything I'd thought about prior to the interviews. No one is going to say in an interview, "I basically fulfill every gay stereotype," but every single one of these guys, myself included, are capable of acting in stereotypical ways. But these gay guys who just want to sleep with each other, or boa-wearing gay guys, or 90-pound boys in tank tops screaming, are images that we've convinced ourselves exist as whole people, and not just elements or stereotypes.
Some have an expectation that other members of the community should not act in a typically homosexual or heterosexual way for lack of a real personality. However, I'm confident that I could speak with any gay man, however many boas he may be wearing, and have an intellectual conversation about gay identity and internalized homophobia. And he would continue on his way, skipping down the street singing show tunes. The stereotype is not the other, it's us. When we push away other members of our own community by labelling them as a thing rather than a person, even though we acknowledge that that concept of this thing comes from outside the gay world, we're doing ourselves a disservice. Renato identifies this in the film as partially coming from self-hate. The problem is that the self we hate isn't totally defined. I have heard so many times, "I know I'm stereotypical in a lot of ways, but..." Why is there a but? What we see as resisting these clichés is only keeping them alive. I can see how a young gay man would be scared to come out and enter into a world in which acting too stereotypically will not only lead to bullying by others, but also a total dismissal from fellow gay men.
Ken says, "Women can be great role models, but we need gay male role models as well. Perhaps all we need is open, honest discussions about being young and gay. So much emphasis is put on coming out and acceptance. Still, we cannot reasonably expect to be embraced as complex, layered, loving human beings when we reject each other so easily." Cole's point that all gay men, all gay community has in common is their sexuality. So the center of gay culture is sex, demonstrates a rejection of all that an authentic community can offer. The modern conception of a young gay community in New York City is disjointed, varied, and seemingly unnecessary as a support system, but also far more complex, layered, and filled with non-stereotypical qualities than most people, including the people within it, seem to acknowledge. We all have this concept of the other. Those flamers out there running it for the rest of us, but we're running it for ourselves. This internal judgment becomes external when we try to act cool for the straight guys by hating limp-wristed cliches as much as they do. We do ourselves a disservice when we continue to perpetuate gross stereotypes, even in attempts to distance ourselves from said stereotypes.
Pretty interesting stuff. And look, we had a couple of messages in already. We've got one from South Yarra saying, "Guys wearing your identity on your sleeve isn't cool anymore. Just be yourself. All is good," from South Yarra. And I think that sums it up, that it's not cool to be yourself. That people have this preconceived conception that it's not cool.
It's because there's all these stereotypes. Not even all these stereotypes. There's just like three or four main things that people expect you to be. You know, like straight, male, female, like a certain type in any way. And if you don't fit that criteria, people shy away.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of pigeonholing in today's society. When do you think it might be because there's so many labels about what people are or who people should be?
It's not even that. I reckon, like, you can be gay, and then there's, like, a subgrouping from that that you can be all these different types of gay.
Yeah.
Straight, so, gay, you super can't just, camp.
Yeah, like, you can't just be gay. You're, like, butch gay, camp gay. Like, you're just, like...
Yeah.
Lipstick, like, lesbian.
Yeah.
Can I just ask, just for my own ignorance, what is a lipstick lesbian?
A girly lesbian.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. It makes
something
sense.
Something that I am far from.
Well, we actually got one message, another message from Michael all the way from California. We experience a lot of internalized homophobia here in California, where there are tons of LGBT people. A lot of people grow up in families which are religious or are not necessarily queer friendly, so therefore lots of LGBT youth hide and most face bullying and the like in school, being called a fag, homo, dyke, queer, pussy, essentially every degrading name you can imagine, and so therefore they begin to hate themselves and the other queers around them. It's all too common in our society as well, as it sounds in the social culture of Australia. I hope for one day a worldwide society of acceptance and understanding of LGBT people as equals. And yes, by the way, I'm a huge Gen Next fan. Love hearing you guys every week. Thanks so much for providing so much insight. Michael.
Good on you, Michael.
That, like, you know how people, like, we have names and insults and things like that thrown around. I believe in psychologically you can repeat that so many times before the person will just, no matter how much they will try and block it out and not believe it, repeat it enough times and eventually you just succumb to it.
It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Sorry, Cam, to cut you off.
No, you're fine. It's also not like the words, it's the attitude behind them. It doesn't matter what someone calls you. If they're trying to offend you or hurt you or because they disagree with what you fundamentally are, it degrades you and it makes you begin to hate yourself. Regardless if you're called a fag or a dyke or a pussy, it doesn't matter. As long as their intention is to hurt you because they don't understand who you are, it really digs away at you.
Yeah. The tone behind the words, and I think just... all the negative aura that's attached to them as well, you know. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I've said fag a couple of times. But
oh, so have I.
I mean, I think we all have probably been guilty of that. But like you said, if it's the way you say it, like if you say it in a manner that's insulting, obviously it's not a very nice way to go about things and you're going to be hurting the person you're directing that to.
Absolutely. But I think when I always perceive fag and dyke as the N-word, where it's like a certain people can say that particular
to one another
word.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you're not, then I don't feel it. It's not a correct...
Oh, I hate being called... I've very rarely been called a dyke, maybe once or twice, but
yeah.
Those times that I have, no, that's not me. Because that's not you. Like, if that's not you, how can you call me that?
It seems like a very closed term. And what I would love for anyone listening to this who might be going through any internalized homophobia is to think that, you know, just because you are gay, and someone might say that you are a gay stereotype, that you're not. It's just one facet. It's not actually what makes you as a whole. Like, I don't know about you, Cal, but, like, I'm a gay man. It doesn't mean that I am everything that falls in under the gay man umbrella. It's just different attributes of someone's personality.
It's 1% of who you are.
Yeah, exactly. And how often does your sexuality come up in your day-to-day life? Not very much, for me at least.
Well, I have a gay boss, and so we're always perving on cute guys coming to the store.
How about you, Vic? Is like
my job type is quite interesting. I work at a medical center, so a very Greek, very medical center, and I find it really funny when the old ladies that I'm friends with try and hook me up with their grandsons. I just laugh it off. They don't need to know. I just go with it, and I think it's funny.
Yeah,
but I have no issue with it, in the workplace. And if someone wants to ask me, unfortunately, I'd have to deny it.
Really,
I would. Yeah.
Far out.
It's a kind of close-knit, family-friend kind of medical center.
Ah.
And my mum works there as well.
Oh, okay.
So, but my boss knows.
Yeah.
And he's cool with it. And he was the one that said, he goes, it's 1% of who you are. And so...
That's fantastic.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. He's a cool cat. But no, that's one thing I'd have to say I really hate. I'd hate that, like, people are like, oh, you know, why are you leaving work early? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to radio. What radio station?
Bye.
Yeah, see you later. Gotta go.
FM.
So that aspect, I mean, that's frustrating. That it frustrates me.
I've been on the other end of the spectrum when it comes to stereotypes. Like, people say I'm not gay enough.
I always get that. It's like, what do I need? Do I need to have like a big tattoo on my forehead that says gay?
Do I need
gay?
To have sex with a man in front of you to convince you, basically?
Or do you find this one when you're out somewhere and there's that, there's a straight girl and it hits that point in the night and they always say, huh, you just haven't met the right girl yet. How about I try? And it's just like, whoa, oh my God. Really? Seriously? You're an educated adult and you have, that came out of your mouth?
That's never happened to me. I feel like I'm not going to the right club.
Straight guys have said that to me.
And how?
Very rare.
How offensive is it?
I laugh. I'm like, okay. I'm like, someone clearly has, what's the word?
Tickets on himself?
Yes.
I just think that, like, if I said that to somebody, if I said that to a straight man, I would feel so disappointed in myself. And I just think, wow, why do other people not have this intention? Do other people not have this thought process?
It's maybe. Yeah, if you walked up to a straight guy and you were trying to pick him up and he was like, oh, I don't swing that way. And you're like, oh, that's just because, you know, you haven't had a proper man. Imagine how it would go down.
Oh, my God.
I just would not be able to. I would actually feel really disappointed in myself. Because I just think that is just so rude.
It's a low thing. And, you know, it actually shows you just wouldn't have a very high self-esteem either.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
Mm, certainly.
Hey, we've got more Generation Next coming up right after this. And if you have anything else that you'd like to add to this chat topic right now, well, send us a text on 0427-JOY-949 or shoot us an email on onair@joy.org.au because we would love to talk about this.
Maybe share some of your experiences about when you've been at the wrong end of a stereotype or when you've suffered because of people's expectations of what you should be.
You're listening to Generation Next.
You are listening to a Joy 94.9 podcast for Generation Next. News, views and opinions from the queer youth of today. The Generation Next podcast is presented to you with thanks to Joy sponsor Equal Play.
I'm Jason Ball.
And I'm Gus Johnston.
Sport has been a massive part of our lives.
But for all the highs, sport can also be complex and at times pretty tough for those in the GLBTI community.
The Equal Play Study is an opportunity to change all this. We're calling on people aged 14 to 23 who are same-sex attracted or gender diverse to share their experiences in sport and PE. Participate now at facebook.com/equalplay.
That track that you just heard was a Generation Next exclusive, Trying to Juggle by Smiles Again featuring William Sin.
You are listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9. Tonight we're discussing internalized homophobia and stereotypes and why they irritate us. And if you want to join in on the discussion, text in 0427-JOY-949, give the front desk a ring on 1300-JOY-949 or email us onair@joy.org.au.
That is correct.
That was such a bopping song.
Yeah, oh my God, I know. How awesome is Smiles Again?
I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Yes.
Hence why I put my sunglasses on.
Yeah, we will admit Vic was rocking out in studio.
She was enjoying herself.
I really was. Just bopping to myself, waiting for someone to text in.
Yeah, you're so anyone. Gangster, Vic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're not wearing your normal Tupac shirt tonight. I love the Tupac.
I thought I'd spruce up a little bit for you guys.
Very nice, very
maybe,
nice.
Maybe run into someone hot. And then I saw Dylan, and boom.
Oh, babe. Somebody make me blush. Look, we are, like I was saying, we are talking about internalized homophobia. And an interesting article came up about Matt Damon and why he never denied the rumors about him being gay. And he didn't want to because he didn't want to insult his friends.
He said in the article that denying himself being gay and, like, vehemently denying it sort of implied that being gay was a bad thing that he didn't want to be seen as. And so he wanted to ignore the issue instead so he didn't so he could avoid offending his gay friends. Because if he's there saying in front of all the media, no, I'm not gay, I'm definitely not, don't think of me as gay, there's going to be negative connotations. People are going to think, well, you know, why are you denying so fiercely that you're not? I mean, I don't want to be thought of as straight. Being straight isn't a bad thing. It's not a good, you know, it's just who you are. But he didn't want to risk offending people.
Yeah, he didn't want to make it sound like a disease, which it's not.
Yeah, well,
that's what people need to understand, I think, if they met the right person and have met a gay person before and heard, actually, you know, listen to their story and realize that, you know, they're a valuable citizen, and they'd understand that it's not a disease. It is what it is, mate. It just is what it is.
It actually absolutely infuriates me, especially like we were talking a little bit earlier on where Cal said that he gets told he's not gay enough. And that when that happens, it's really, really annoying. And when people say, oh, you know, but you're not like all the other gay guys I know. And it's just like, well,
you're hanging around with the wrong gay guys.
Yeah. Or I feel like turning around and saying to them, well, you're not like every other straight person I know because you're all different because you're just people. And one aspect of your personality is not.
Who wants to be the same anyway? Like, I mean, you are who you are. And if you can accept, like, if you can portray that in a positive way, then you're winning already. Like,
yeah. That's why I have a bright red mohawk.
That's right.
It is a nice mohawk.
Oh, thanks, Cal. I like you too. We have got some more messages in. Michael again. Hey, yet again, I have to say stereotypes seem to exist in every culture. And I think even though they don't make a person, it can be a positive or negative thing to have stereotypes. My philosophy is it takes one to know one. I see where you're going with that, Michael. I have been the one who has been stereotyped many times for being gay, and it's not fair, but I can understand why it exists. I also agree that a person should just be themselves, no matter how they define themselves. I see the point in stereotypes, but they aren't necessary, nor are labels. Why can't we all be defined as human? Is that too much to ask? I am curious to know how each of you feel about stereotypes and labels. Should they be addressed? Michael.
Stereotypes. Well, I don't think we should have any, but It's you can't help it. I honestly think you can't help it. The amount of times, I mean, you just do it involuntary. I mean, I do it. Everyone, like, you can't help it. But I will say that when I do introduce myself to people that I'm meeting, saying I'm gay is not something that I feel needs to be said. It's not an introductory piece. Like, I'm Vicky, how you doing?
Well, it's like, when I meet new people, they don't come up to me and say, oh, hi, I'm such and such, and I'm straight.
That's right.
It's redundant. It's a redundant question.
It comes up organically in conversation. If you're talking about what you did on the weekend and you say something like, oh, I was hanging out with my boyfriend, he came over and we went and saw a movie, then it'll click. But it's not something that needs to be. It's like sort of like the whole coming out to your parents thing. While it is something that needs to be done in our society at the moment, it doesn't seem like it should be a necessary thing. It's not like, oh, you know, like, I'm gay, mum and dad. Because straight people don't have to come out to their parents and tell them that they're straight.
Actually, we did have a chat with Mitch Griggs, who grew up in a rainbow family. And he grew up and identified as straight. And when he was 15, he came out to his gay father as being straight. And that just kind of tickled me, because it's like, even though he grew up as straight, because he's different to the environment that he grew in, he felt that he had to voice that. When he did come out to his father as being straight, apparently his father just laughed at him hysterically.
I probably would have laughed as well, but let's have a party.
Yeah.
Another text in, with no name, which is cool. Even when said in a joke by, like, inverted commas, people, words like fag and dyke can reinforce negative self-image. Completely agree with that. It's just one of those things. It's hard to say because a lot of words have negative connotations. So, again, how you say it, if it has a negative connotation, it will most likely have a negative impact.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it is a negative word. I mean, they're words that come from a place of hate, even if they do.
Well,
they started
from as insults. So
exactly,
they're bound to insult.
It's similar to, like, saying something's gay. Like, oh, that's gay, you know, because it, you know,
oh,
you don't
like
it.
I say that so much.
So do I. And the thing is, nowadays, it's not thought of as someone, like, if it's gay, you don't think, oh, what? You know, that toaster is attracted to other, like, gendered toasters. I mean, that was a really bad example.
I didn't know my toaster did anything except for toast my bread.
Your toaster has a gender. It's more to do with, you know, words are constantly evolving and developing. I mean, gay originally meant happy.
Yeah.
And that's changed to mean homosexual, and now it's changed to mean sort of bad. And yes, the beginning was probably something along the lines of, because being gay is seen as a bad thing, saying that something bad is gay.
Or you could do what my mother did, and she asked me if I was funny.
Oh, really?
And I actually think I'm pretty damn funny.
I think
so. That's actually how I answered it. And she's just looking at me, and I'm like, okay.
What do you mean?
Awkward.
I make you laugh all the time, Mum.
Quite humorous.
Hey, 16 minutes to 8. We have more Generation Next coming up right after this.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Generation Next, it's 7:45 on Monday the 17th on Joy 94.9. Tonight you are joined by Dil, Vic and Cal, and we are talking about internalised homophobia, and this seems to be a topic that a lot of people have something to say. During those amazing announcements, we did have someone message in, and I just like to take time to read it. People who cry about stereotypes are usually upset because they fall into them. We don't have time to get to know every single person we see. We have to stereotype people in certain ways to know which one of them wants to kill us for our wallet, which ones can't drive, and which ones enjoy the taste of falafel. If we didn't have stereotypes, we'd be stupid shit like we'd be doing stupid shit like walking up to bikers and asking whether this is geranium season or not. Nice. So, if, for example, you're Hindu and everyone stereotypes you as someone who doesn't ever go fly fishing, I apologise on behalf of my cruel people. But if it really bothers you, start fly fishing. Otherwise, they're right. Jamie Peran West.
Hey. I don't agree with this text.
You don't? Why is that, Cal?
I don't think that stereotypes are used as a way to help identify people. I think it's more stereotypes are used so we can categorise people to make ourselves more comfortable, so that we don't find, we don't suddenly find ourselves confronted with something that we're not used to and don't know how to react to. If we can put them in like, oh, you're gay, you like men, you like listening to the Spice Girls, there, I've got you down pat.
But is that just, is a stereotype just, I don't know, in this context, it's just for gays, but I at the same time, I do think that stereotypes, maybe not even that word, stereotypes, but it's we do it naturally to pigeonhole people. It's like an identifier.
I'm going to have to... I can't help but kind of agree with that text. I reckon you stereotype or categorise, or you do something, you put them somewhere with the people that you meet, and until you get to know them better, that's when I feel that's when you learn from it and be like you're the more wiser for it. But until then, you're just going to... I call it categorizing, and I do it with you know, the Greeks I see in Doncaster compared to, you know, the Asian people I might see in Richmond. Like, you do it. Like, you can't help it, whether it's with nationalities or subcultures or anything like that. And until I speak to them personally for longer than 5 minutes and learn something about them that's different, then I have this set.
Do you know
I
what?
Can't help it. Yeah.
Like, spending a lot of time in the goth scene, I also do that. And this is outside of the gay culture, but it's just an example. Like, when I see a punk, generally I'm like, oh my God, you have poor hygiene. And it happens, because most of the punks I meet are just smelly punks.
I think the best example is, for instance, when people are like, let's go out to Brunswick or anything like that, and automatically people are like, oh yeah, alternatives, hipsters. Like, you know what I mean? Like, even I think of it like that as well. I'm like, oh yeah, it's an urban, edgy, alternative kind of scene.
Yeah.
And that's just... that's how, like you said, people identify and people categorize. And I know it's probably not the appropriate way to approach it.
I think that with the email that came in, it's like with all the examples, it's less about stereotypes and more about expectations. You expect bikies, although stereotypes and expectations, when you think about it more, are very similar, because they fall into a stereotype. You expect them to act in a certain way.
I blame that on TV.
Yeah.
When it's like tattooed people, I suppose. I mean, I know a paramedic who's full of tats, but
full to the brim.
Who would think she's a paramedic?
Yeah, true.
Out of the uniform, automatically, if someone was to see a tattooed person, maybe not our generation, maybe a bit of the older generation,
yep,
they would think something else, and a negative idea, I would assume.
Very, very interesting things. Hey, it's 11 minutes to 8. We're going to just quickly cut into some gay school.
Oh, there we are.
There's a bear in there, and a chair as well.
There are people with games and stories to tell.
Oh, open wide, come inside. It's gay school.
That was so off key, your whistle.
I can't even
shame.
Whistle.
Shame. Shame. New push for school ally groups. High school students starting up gay straight ally groups in Victoria schools still face resistance from school authorities and verbal abuse from other students. Last week, approximately 25 young people from across the state attended the first standout workshop in Melbourne to learn practical ways of tackling homophobia in their schools. Students from Year 8 to 12 attended the event organised by the Safe Schools Coalition Victoria and Minus 18. Attendees learnt about setting up gay straight alliance groups in schools and what events to hold to spread the word and get people interested, such as Idaho Day or International Day Against Homophobia.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no worries. Safe Schools Coalition Victoria Coordinator Ros Ward and Minus 18 General Manager Micah Scott attended the event and agree the afternoon event was a success. Ward said that some students find that school administration can make it more difficult than it needs to be. For example, the easiest of tasks, such as choosing a location, can prove difficult for these groups as they try to find somewhere accessible within the school, which still provides some anonymity for students who are not out. Pretty interesting.
That's a very good point. I remember seeing a counsellor in high school and not wanting people to think I was a freak for going and seeing a counsellor, and even just going into the counselling area of the school, which was up, you know, coordinator's office, all that sort of thing, and going up there and being seen waiting out the front of the counsellor's door made me nervous. Just because I thought, what if someone sees me here and makes the connection?
Wow. Wait, do you know, I totally skipped that, but then again, I dropped out of high school, so that's probably where it happened. But that's crazy. Not crazy, but I can understand where you're coming from there. I mean...
You're paranoid.
Paranoid.
Yeah, you just think, because you just assume that everyone else can see it.
Can sense it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's why I used to not be an attendee of Year 11, because I was so paranoid.
Poor deal.
Just quickly before we go into the next article, we have another message in. Humans have an innate need to compartmentalize in order to make sense of their surroundings. Stereotyping is difficult to overcome unless it is worked on. Simon.
Well said, Simon.
Thanks for that, Simon.
Labor MP to marry same-sex partner, Ian Hunter, the South Australian MP, says he's excited and overwhelmed to become the first Australian politician from a major party to marry same-sex partner overseas next week. Hunter will wed his long-term partner, Leith Semmons, in Spain, becoming only the second Australian politician to have married their same-sex partner after New South Wales MP Alex Greenwich. Hunter became the Communities and Social Inclusion Minister for the South Australian government in October last year, but has been a long-time vocal LGBTI rights advocate. Hunter said, "I firmly believe that Australia will have marriage equality within the next 7 years or so, but I'm not prepared to wait around for that to happen. New York had to raise the matter in their state parliament 3 times before it succeeded, and I feel we in Australia will have to do the same." Hunter, who said he was going to co-sponsor a state-based gay marriage bill in the South Australian Parliament, also said he was doubtful marriage equality supporters would find the necessary numbers to pass it in the lower house. Boom. Congratulations, dude. I hope that goes well.
Yeah, good on him.
In Espanol.
Minister refuses to release HIV report. Federal Health Minister Tanya Plibersek has refused to release a report which HIV advocates and health professionals say is vital to meeting a target to reduce HIV infections in Australia. The report is the result of 3 years of work by a ministerial advisory committee set up to examine legal issues, discrimination and stigma in different states arising from laws such as criminalisation of non-disclosure of a person's HIV status. In October, the nation's leading HIV groups requested the report be released after it was revealed that HIV infections had increased by more than 8% in 2012. Following this, the federal government and leading HIV groups committed to UN targets of reducing HIV infections by 50% by 2015. The report was finalised earlier this year and sent to the minister for final consideration. However, it is not yet publicly available. The spokesman declined to say when the report might be released. Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations, or AFAO, Executive Director Rob Lake said the report was needed so Australia could work towards meeting the 2015 target of reduced infections and that the clock was ticking.
Wow, that is pr- pretty... I just wish they would release those stats. It's an essential update that needs to be heard.
That maybe because it's too alarming, maybe it's too high? Because we were discussing a couple of weeks ago how it's gone high instead of lower in the last year or so.
But it might be alarming, but I feel like as this affects predominantly adults in Australia, that we need to be treated like adults and need to be given the correct information and the proper information. It's an essential service that needs to be said.
It's alarming, but I think it's something that we should be alarmed about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, rising likelihood of infection for HIV is extremely serious.
It is, and it seems like something that's getting pushed under this massive rug, and they'll just deal with it and they'll put it into the then pile, but... Hey, it's happening now. It needs to be addressed now.
Mm.
Look, we are so almost out of time, but we've got more Generation Next coming up right after this.
What's up? I'm Stan Walker, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Generation Next! Love it.
4 minutes to eight. You are listening to Generation Next on Joy 94.9. For the last 50-odd minutes, you've been joined by Dil, Vic and Cal, but it's come to that time of night again.
Don't miss me too much.
Oh, Vic, I always miss you. As soon as I see you walk down the street, I feel like it's a movie.
The sensual voice, I tell ya. It's all about having confidence in yourself, guys.
It's all about the confidence. Thank you to everyone who has messaged in. We have one last message in from Robert. So there are no derogatory labels. Andre from East St Kilda tells everyone he's a rainbow person.
Well, that's nice.
That's awesome.
See, that's a positive connotation to that word. So... maybe we should change the word.
Yeah.
So if you're coming out to your parents, instead of saying I'm gay, or I'm a lesbian, or I'm whatever, I'm rainbow. What up?
That's awesome.
Just paint yourself in rainbow colours and then just strip in front of your parents and be like, this is me.
If you want the perfect setting, even make sure there is a rainbow outdoors as well. I mean, that'll set the tone right there.
Yeah.
And when you introduce your boyfriend to them, you can say, it's a double rainbow, guys.
What does it mean?
The sky that is our family.
Thank you, Robert. I like that. I'm going to use that now. I'm going to trip people out because people won't have no idea what that is.
That is so awesome.
Spread the word.
Hey, 3 minutes to wait. We've just got a bit of No Doubt coming up, but stick around for Femme Fatale. Those girls, they love what they do and they have awesome shows. Listen to Generation Next. Bye, guys.
Have a great night.
See you Christmas Eve.
You've been listening to a Joy 94.9 podcast for Generation Next. News, views, and opinions from the queer youth of today. The Generation Next podcast is presented to you with thanks to Joy sponsor, Equal Play.
I'm Jason Ball.
And I'm Gus Johnston.
Sport has been a massive part of our lives.
But for all the highs, sport can also be complex and at times pretty tough for those in the GLBTI community.
The Equal Play study is an opportunity to change all this. We're calling on people aged 14 to 23 who are same-sex attracted or gender diverse to share their experiences in sport and PE. Participate now at facebook.com/equalplay.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.